The interesting thing about that is that you don't get a lot of time. Okay, so that can take a long time. But if you do it quickly, it doesn't take so long. So you wouldn't be as prescriptive as he is in having three groups of children enter the classroom, go and do an activity, because you basically come in and, having a look at your lesson plan, you come straight in, sit on the floor all together, and then start your lesson. And it might be with a recall of something that you've done prior, or, you know, a hello, a mark the roll kind of stuff. That kind of thing happens. If you've got a really difficult group, I would suggest that you even mark the roll outside the room. Okay, so you don't actually give them the privilege of coming in and disrupting before you even start, and it taking you more than 30 seconds to mark the roll, because it shouldn't take you longer than that. So if it is that that is a problem, as soon as you come in, that they're restless from the very start, I would suggest that you do it right outside the classroom door. And you know, especially after one term already, you know those kids that would be those ones that you'd be able to enter straight away on their own, and those that you wouldn't. And you don't have to mark the roll in order. You can mark the roll however you like. So you start with the good kids, and you start by saying, you know, Joe, in you go. Sam, in you go. You know, whatever. Because you know those kids will actually go in and set an example for those who you know are going to have difficulty as soon as they enter. So it may not be as prescriptive as what he has suggested there, but there is method in what he's talking about, especially for the difficult kids. Those classes that come in and sit and are beautiful, I'm impressed. They you don't need all of that. You don't need any of that, in fact. Like, if you've already got it set up that they enter and they sit and they're beautiful, fantastic. But for those that don't, that can be a really important strategy, because like he said, they enter unsettled. I can guarantee you it will remain like that the whole time. And by the end of the half hour, you'll be thanking Buddha very much that it is over. And you'll be leaving with a big smile on your face. You'll have had enough. Now, this is quite small. I've been asked if I can just... Oh, I'd have to go right back, wouldn't I, and fix it from the start. I can actually make this bigger, and I'll send it to Venerable Lee, and she can distribute it so that you can actually see it. Is that okay? I'll do that when I get home.
For now, we'll just listen to what you're talking
listen,
about.
That's okay, yeah. Everyone and I can...
Everyone will have access to that.
Beautiful. So I'll make it black before I go, so there's no coloured print and stuff like that. All right. Now, once you're in the classroom, so we've now entered. It's taken us a while to get there, but we are in. Think about those little procedures you can do outside. Get those good kids in, get the next group. And then those that are difficult, there's probably two or three in every single group that you have, leave them till last so that you can have that discussion and say, last week we didn't have a great week in scripture. You were difficult. You know, it was difficult for you to understand the activity, whatever. Let's work on this together so that we have a nice day today. Again, you've broken the barrier before they get the power of the classroom. Have a crack and see how it works. Okay, once you're in and you've given your instructions, a really important thing to do that we are hopeless at as teachers, and it's something that I thought, oh, I must remind my own staff of this, is giving kids thinking time. We're so busy at getting stuff done, and we are the same. Our curriculum is chock-a-block full, and we are constantly racing against the time to get things done. But sometimes, if you say something and you want reaction, you've got to give them a little bit of time. It can be as small as 5 to 10 seconds. So just giving them an opportunity, thinking about what you've said, okay, now I'm going to do it. Because in our heads, we've said it, we've done it. They've heard it, they have to process it, think about how that has to action, and then do it. So another really important strategy is just waiting after you've given instruction. Just give them a chance to have a little look at what you want them to do. And that way, like he mentioned in his videos as well, it also gives you time to re-say the question, maybe in a different way than you did it the first time. You might need to re-say it again, especially for those kids that are a little bit tricky, that don't often have the right processing speed. And unfortunately at the moment, that is becoming a bigger and bigger and bigger issue for us, is getting kids to have a working memory that actually is longer than about 2 seconds, where you say three things and suddenly they do the last one, or they do the first one and no others. Our own kids are like that at home as well. So giving them that little bit of time. The other really important thing is to show them who's boss from the start. All right, you've got to be assertive in who you are. And for some of you, your personality isn't that. You're just not that sort of person. And in teaching, we have that as well. Like many of our teachers just don't have that assertive presence, that as soon as they enter, the kid's just quiet. And you'll notice if you're working with people as well in different places, if you see different teachers, you'll look at them and think, oh, I wish they'd listened to me like they listened to her, and all that sort of stuff. That takes years and years and years of practice at just doing that job. Okay, so for me, when I first started, I wasn't as confident as I am now because I didn't know as much as I know now, and I was probably a little less assertive in what I said and what I did. But it gets better over time, and you will notice if you've been doing the SRE lessons for a number of years, you will have gotten better at that, at saying, no, I'm not going to put up with that behaviour, or I'm not going to have you not listen to me, or you need to listen to the instructions that I'm giving. And for some of you who are just new at that, or it's not your personality, that's something you work really hard at every single time you enter that classroom. But as soon as you show that presence of assertiveness, and I'm not talking about yelling and screaming like he said, there's no point doing that, it's not going to change anything, although sometimes it does make you feel a little better, but it doesn't change anything. The one thing to do is to show your presence. So, you know, make sure that maybe even at the start of those difficult lessons where you know the class aren't easy, stand up, be above them, so that if they're sitting on the floor, you're standing. And you might give that initial instruction standing up, because already that's a sense of power. Even right now, with me standing at the front and all of you sitting, I know that I've got the power. Okay, I'm the one getting you to look at me. And if you're not, look at me. No, I won't raise my voice. So, you know, make sure that you do show that assertiveness. Not aggressiveness, doesn't change anything. Just that assertiveness that, you know, I'm here. I've got a very short amount of time to get through what I have to get through. And you need to give me the greatest respect that we can possibly find in half an hour. Okay. This one is exactly what I was talking about before. So one of the major strategies that we use in classrooms with our kids is to actually find those kids doing the right thing. So in our system, in our school, and that's in every classroom across K-6, we have a process that we have a non-verbal warning. So for that child who is rolling around the floor, you might just look, get their attention, shake your head. You haven't stopped your lesson. You haven't stopped saying what you're saying to the rest of the group. You've just indicated to them that you're not happy with the behaviour that they're doing. Sometimes for me, I then use my standing up person, and if someone's on the floor doing the wrong thing, I just move to them. And all you've got to do is stand and give your instructions from here, and suddenly that person is feeling a whole lot less powerful with me standing above them straight away. So it can be as simple as that. I don't even have to show anything, don't have to do anything. No other kid needs to even know about it. I've just moved, and suddenly that person is like, ooh, she's right here. I can't roll anymore because she's right there and she's going to notice. Because there'll be that one that thinks you can't see. I don't know where they think our eyes go, but yeah, why are you on the table? I know you're there. I can see you. Get out. So just doing things like that, like those non-verbal, non-aggressive, just simple tactic where you've just moved to or you've just shaken your head at that particular person as soon as you've gained eye contact, because all they really want from you is attention. And they're the sort of kids that it doesn't matter whether it's positive or negative attention, they want it. And they don't care what the consequence is because of, it might be their home life, it might be a situation they've just come out of a classroom in. It might be that the group that you've got, which is not normally their class group, that's another challenge that you have. It's a brand new group for one half an hour once a week, that there might be someone in there who they do feel threatened by. So they start acting up before they even come in. Because those particular SRE groups, we don't have any other time during the week, just then. So you've really got a challenge in just that, bringing kids from different grades together. Yes, they have the same belief, but that's it. They have nothing else in common. So that can often be a challenge by itself as well. So once we've done that, we've done our non-verbal, then we might use the person sitting next to them. So that's a really important thing too. There will always be good kids, always. And most often, if we're kind, 2/3 of a group are the good kids. 1/3 can be the challenge, and they seem like they are times 20. Right, 2 kids can be like having 40 naughty ones. So really important to value the kids who are doing the right thing, because in half an hour, very quick amount of time, sometimes you might just forget those kids that always do the right thing, because those challenging kids have taken 99% of your attention the whole time. So it's nice, even in that little regard, when the person is rolling around the floor, to say, I love the way that you're sitting, Vivian. I love the way that you're sitting with your legs crossed, your hands in your lap, and your eyes and ears are looking at me. Well done. Great job. So you haven't even mentioned the naughty kid yet. We still haven't done anything about that. That child is still rolling around the floor, doing their thing, kicking out their leg, whatever it might be. So far, we've just moved to the child, and now we've thanked somebody who's doing the right thing. Doesn't have to be right next to them, valuable if it is, because they can see what that good behaviour is. And we've also acknowledged that we're noticing without saying your name yet. We're giving you lots of chances here. So far we've given two big chances to pull your head in.
So this is my absolutely first time in this group. What age group are you talking about when you're talking about these children, just for me to get a sense?
Yep,
of...
I'm kindergarten to year six.
Okay.
K to six, not high school.
Okay.
Are you working in high schools?
No.
Oh, thank goodness.
I'm not doing anything yet.
I'm not doing anything yet. Yeah. So this is kindergarten to year six, and we use this same thing for 5-year-olds that we do for 12-year-olds.
Okay.
Exactly the same process. Of course, you know, the behaviours tend to get a little more extravagant by the time they're 12, and they feel like they have even more control, because sometimes they're as big as you are, and, you know, so that doesn't even scare them. It's really just a case of, same strategy, no matter what. So we've given them two little chances of non-verbal, haven't even mentioned their name yet. Then when it comes to the next spot, where we actually have to do something about it, because you know it's not changing and you've given them a couple of chances, and these have taken seconds. Not a lot of time, seconds. You don't give them 5 minutes to get better. You've given them about 20 seconds at this point to get better. If they still haven't done that, now's when you need to address them individually. And that's why it's really important to have your rules with you, the ones that you sometimes... We try to negotiate with our kids at the beginning of the year what rules they want to have. So what they think is appropriate for them to have to give, you don't have time. You don't have anywhere near the time for that. If it was the start of the year, you might like to start that, especially if you know from previous history that you're about to get a naughty group that you've had before, that you think, oh, those kids are still here, they're not at year six and year seven yet. They're the ones you might want to establish the rules with at the beginning of the year, but otherwise, just take them with you. These are what I expect. I don't have time to negotiate, this is it. And I can guarantee you those particular rules that you're not negotiable on are the ones that the school would be non-negotiable on as well. It's respect. It's that simple. It's nothing more than that.
Do you have a set of rules for your school?
We do.
So can we borrow, say, if the school, each school have their own rules,
yep.
Can we just apply them?
You certainly can. And that's usually the best option, if you can. If you can see, like I was saying in my classroom, we have like big posters, like they're as big as one of those sheets there, that actually have our 4 school rules, safe, responsible, learner, something else, can't think. So we have 4 rules, and then under those 4 rules, we then have sub-rules. So what does that look like in the classroom? What does it look like when you're walking down the corridor? What does it look like when you come to the office? What does it look like when you go to the canteen? So if you can see something in the classroom like that, by all means, I would grab those rules as the ones that you expect.
It's like, what happened is that in all the classroom that you go in, everywhere he will have those rules there, 5 L's, 4 L's.
Yes.
Know, your eyes, you know,
yes.
The L or whatever.
Yep.
And also the each school they actually have got that 4, you know, they what all the students need to, you know, follow.
And that is a universal one,
yes.
The 5 L's. Everyone talks about the 5 L's, and we all pretty much grab that one, because that is just respectful behaviour when you're sitting on the floor.
Yes.
And if they are there, I would definitely use them. But use them. Like, actually physically use them. And remind them that even though you are a visitor to this classroom and that you're only here for a short time, and for probably 80% of those children, that's not their classroom. They've probably come from other classrooms to come to you. I would still be utilising that and saying, this classroom, in this classroom, this is what you're expected to do. And if a child says, but that's not the rules we have in our room, at this point in time, we are in this room. And this is the room that we are using, and these are the rules that we are following. It would only be if you don't have those, or you do have that one child who's driving you crazy, that you might have your own set. that you might just have them on a simple piece of card or something like that that you bring into the room and you remind the kids of at the start of the lesson before they even begin. And especially those kids who you know are going to cause you grief.
I found that as a casual teacher as well as a scripture teacher, quite often they'll say, this is not how we do it here. In
of course.
And then I say, I'm here for the day or I'm here for this lesson for the scripture or whatever, and my rules, and we're doing a contract. And at the beginning of the year, I always do a contract. I think I mentioned it last year, where they have the two rules. Always I will show respect and always I will do my best.
Yep.
And then you just refer it, is that showing respect, you know, leaving the mess on the floor? Is that not doing your best? Go and do your best and stuff like that. So, and then even as a casual teacher for the day, I would refer to them. But we don't have those rules, but your rules will be encompassed in those. The
absolutely.
Whole, so, and
yep.
then just say, I'm the boss today.
Yep,
because I'm
pretty
the teacher
much.
For you. So, and the same with the scripture.
And that is pretty much it. And, you know, being a casual teacher, as you know, it's just as hard as this.
Yeah.
In fact, you've got a whole day then, not just
yeah.
half an hour that you can
yeah.
be out of there. So, yeah, it's exactly the same scenario. And they will always push the buttons and they will always have an answer for absolutely everything that you suggest. No, that's not how we do it here. My teacher doesn't do it like that.
Mm.
I understand that. But exactly like you're saying, you've just got to say, but for now or for today, this is who is here and this is what you're going to do. And already that has shown your power. As such, it's given you a little limp ahead of them saying, I understand it's different, I'm acknowledging that it's different, but right now this is what you're doing with me in here at this point. But that's a really important one. And I think, yeah, if you choose big and broad rules that you might need, then it's easy. It's very easy. And for that one child that you might know even after term one, one or two children, if you do need to be more specific to that particular child, maybe it's just them. That have to have that little special rule plate or whatever it is, or little piece of cardboard that you remind them of every time they come into your room, that you will enter silently. Those words are really important too, like he said in the beginning. If you don't want them to be speaking, then the word is silent. If you want them to have a mutter, then the word is quietly. And we had to be very careful when we worded our stuff at school, especially for coming into our hall and during assemblies, you enter and you leave silently. There's no negotiation. There's not a mutter. There's not a chat to your friend. There's not a word as you go. It's silent. So it's really important to be careful of the words that you use as well. So much to remember in half an hour, isn't there? We haven't even gotten to lesson content yet. We're just talking about behaviour. All right. Yeah, positive reinforcement. This is something that, like I was saying before, sometimes when we get so caught up in the hard kids or the hard task that we've got ahead of us, we tend to forget about the kids who are always doing the right thing. And positive reinforcement is what most of our behaviour systems in public schools is all about these days. So it's about being positive rather than saying, don't do, don't do, don't do. So at the front of all of our rules, and you would notice in classrooms, if you've seen the classroom rules that are there, none of them say, don't speak, don't touch other people. We use it in a positive way where we say, keep your hands and feet to yourself. Okay, so we're not saying don't do it, because if you say don't, you can guarantee they will do. So you've got to be careful again with your words. We have to be really positive about what we want. So we've got to be proactive in what we say. And in saying that, we are actually saying keep your hands and feet to yourself. We're not saying don't kick and hit other people. Okay, so it becomes more of a positive statement. So if you do end up choosing some that you want to add yourself that the classroom doesn't have, or for that particular child that's driving you crazy, then certainly make sure that you are positive in the statements that you write, not negative to start with. I'll just show you a little video here of a kindergarten class, I think this might be. Doesn't go for very long, this one.